Okay, we'll call the meeting order. I'm Brian Hawkins, and I'm going to be chairing this meeting today. And in the interest of efficiency, Siobhan has suggested that we jump right to item 3I, just in case Ron shows up and we work backwards here. So, is that okay with everybody? Talk about item 3I, commercial zone language regarding setbacks.
No two for today. I tried calling James, but he wasn't answering his phone to let him know I was on my way.
Yeah.
I turned it off. Because you were here.
I was here.
I would have been here. Customers won't leave me alone long enough.
Brian already did item number one for you.
Oh, all the meeting order.
Good job.
Voted in all tasks that have been delegated to you.
And we suggested that maybe we...
Put them on my back.
Maybe we handle...
Well, since Charlie's here, we do fire concerns. Don't want to waste his time.
We're not ready with fire concerns. But he's on the board of the agenda.
Cool.
Right. We just suggested that we go to 3I just to knock that out because 2 is, because 3 itself is going to be annoying.
2I?
3I.
I don't have a 3I in my
What is 3A1? Is that a 1?
One. Not on my agenda.
Wrong.
Yeah, mine either, but that's what we're looking for.
3 is discuss William C.C. issue number 5, gas capacity type of service. Under that, A, continue review and revisions to item number 5 regarding gas capacity type of service.
I did not get that agenda. That agenda is no good, evidently.
We're going to talk about commercials on my
list. The older agenda?
Look what she had. It's bad enough I had to call my hands deep to get it off the floor. She threw it down the floor and made me crawl underneath the table to get it.
I don't have a 3A and B.
Oh, no, it's there. Oh,
there's
3.
Two.
Oh.
Oh, no, you're right.
3A and 3B. Mm-hmm. Anyway, hence my confusion. Okay, so we're going to 3I, you said, which is the language that you had emailed out to everybody.
Yes.
Okay, I'm fine with that. Let's move on to 3I.
You know, I don't think we received this on the email.
You received it. What you didn't receive was the very last sentence, which basically says, if they can put something in a commercial or industrial zone, then put it there first, before you put it in a residential zone. And if you can't, you can't. But that's the preference.
Okay.
So it was that last sentence that perhaps didn't go out in the last version.
Oh, okay.
I think you're correct. I have not seen this myself.
I have the first I've seen this. So if it was emailed, I don't.
No, I
didn't
decide.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen
this. I did get this
one. Oh, okay. Maybe I was communicating with Steve and asking him if he
was. That might be, yeah.
So this came up because we agreed last time to have a separate item for what happens in commercial industrial zones because everything is so close to each other and that's a preferable place to have a support structure with antennas. And so we didn't want to restrict it with any setbacks that were very different from just the setbacks within the zone itself. Is that?
Yeah, that was true. I asked James to bring in a map here at some point. We'll look and see how much area is involved in all of that.
Mm-hmm.
How far one would go out to get to 1,500 if we're talking residential and stuff. Anyway, so far so good.
Mm-hmm. So the minimum setback standard of the applicable zoning looks like you're just going to default to what it is right now.
Right, so whatever it is in industrial and commercial.
Which is 10 feet. That's 10 feet.
Yeah,
all the way around.
This one is more, this was the compromise. We did some compromises and.
Okay.
So this is new language?
This is new language.
Could I make a suggestion or two?
Yeah.
Second setback where it says zone shall be the minimum setback.
Second line.
I would get rid of minimum setback and put standards set forth in the applicable zoning district. So let me say that to where it makes some sense. I'm sorry. I would scratch out minimum setback, and I would add set forth in the. So it would end up reading within a commercial or industrial zone from other structures, properties within that zone that shall be the standard set forth in the applicable zoning district. It just is so wordy. The other thing that scares me is the word satisfied in the second and last sentence. Steve, if I was the judge and jury sitting on the thing and saying, no, you can't put a tower there, because it's been demonstrated that its needs can be satisfied, what would that be? Would that be a frequency of dropped calls? Would that be a, yes, I can hit 80% of the people within this area? What is satisfied? I say you guys should lose satisfied. Being a code guru, satisfied will, people will eat your lunch on that. It's too ambiguous. Satisfied to you might not be satisfied to me.
Yeah.
I would find whatever, you're an expert, you know what satisfied is.
Well,
the
carriers will use it to demonstrate the need, and there are four or five different aspects to that technical side that we talked about pretty extensively a time or two ago.
It should be probably instead referenced and sitting in an appendix to where, at least when I go, what the heck is satisfied, you go look in appendix B and you can read the four criteria are what satisfied means.
The titles we've been using, it says right here, gaps, capacity, types of service, etc. Those are very generic terms for what they're going to reference to satisfy because of a gap.
You know how it is when it starts getting ugly and you're looking on law bills. You better have a definition for satisfied.
If you change it to met, that would be consistent with the codes?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a newcomer in here, so I'm sorry.
Well, then that needs to be, here's some of the first wording, you know, gaps, etc., coverage. That needs to be chewed on a little bit more to encompass that. But you are right. Satisfying means nothing.
Met is fine.
And then the sentence right in between those, can't you put something like it shall adhere to the most restrictive, or it shall adhere to the most appropriate zoning? You're kind of going, well, if this zone is that, but we'd rather you be in this zone, but if you can't be in this zone, you can be in that. Wouldn't it be better if you say in the most restrictive, shall adhere to the most restrictive zoning, or shall adhere to the most appropriate zoning on that? Right here where I've got underlined, the whole little zone thing. Can't you just say the most restrictive or the most conservative?
Where, I'm not sure where you're
going. Line 4.
See where this is getting into this whole to use. Another zone shall respect the other zones require a setback for that.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be just as clean to say adhere to the most restrictive or adhere to the most conservative or the most appropriate? Or I'm just trying to, the less words you have, the less people have confusion when the actual code geek is standing there trying to explain it to somebody. Those are just things I saw in a code deck.
That's why you have a recommended sentence wording you want to replace that with?
Yeah. A recommendation would be commercial or industrial zone.
Right. Let me box that in.
Shall adhere to the most restrictive rather than shall respect the other zone's required setback from that use.
You just don't need to say it that way.
Shall adhere to the other zone or
I don't know. In the code a lot of times, what is it you're trying to accomplish? Are you trying to go to the most appropriate? Is it trying to be in the most appropriate zone? Why don't you just say that then instead of this?
Well, that I feel like the word most appropriate is kind of a, like,
but again, that's ambiguous.
Yeah,
it might be way more appropriate to him than it is to me. So yeah, I don't know. This seems like if I was the other side going to try and eat your lunch on this, I could dice this and spice this. So I would suggest you tighten up a few of the ambiguous parts.
Okay, well, let's go. How does everybody sound with the first recommendation on line 2 to strike out minimum setback and put the zone shall be the standard set forth of the applicable zoning district?
Let's define that for a moment. So an adjacent could be residential alongside of an industrial commercial. Now, are we saying that we're requiring a 1500 setback to honor that residential standard? We need to look at the map. Some of these commercial zones, who knows how wide they are? Might take up 7/8 of the whole thing, if I'm reading that right. So I'm defining what that setback is to adjacent
property. It says the support structure in a commercial or industrial doesn't say anything about residential.
But it would be, could be an adjacent property to a residential.
This doesn't care about adjacent properties, does it, James?
No. Boy, yeah, reading
adjacent property is a whole different topic, a whole other committee, I think.
In regard to setback for what could be done in this commercial. So it's being ignored?
No. The county's already got set ups for how a commercial and an industrial is in relationship to a residential neighborhood. The county's already got that set in other parts of the plan.
Okay.
So how commercial and industrial sits in their relationship is a whole different thing. This, if the way I'm reading it, Steve, is your structure within an industrial or commercial, how's it going to sit now that we've got it in that zone? That's the way I'm reading that. But I might be reading it wrong.
Well, no, I read it the same way. I don't see residential having an effect here.
I don't even see the word residential.
Well, I was just referring to adjacent property that could be residential. You explained to me they have no set of standards, which I guess are more forgiving than residential.
Well, I just don't think this is the appropriate time to worry about.
Gotcha. Okay. Sure.
I mean, that's not even on this wording.
Yeah, I don't see any reference that that would come into play.
James, aren't you guys already set to where if I've got a big industrial zone, there's already...